pay-per-view prices getting to you? Maybe MLB blackouts, maybe the insane cost of Sunday ticket, whatever it might be. NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location with one click. Maybe you want to be in the West Coast when you can't watch a game on the East Coast. They got you covered. Maybe the pay-per-view prices are just too high or there's too many of them. Switch your virtual location overseas and get the prices that they're paying there. NordVPN.com/Fightful does it all for you. And that's in addition to their password manager, their protection on public Wi-Fi, the ability to use it on all your devices, including your router, your TV. It doesn't matter. They've got you on all those. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you're just feeling wild and you want to try it. Well, you know what? In 30 days, if you don't like it, spoiler, you will. You can get your money back. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, welcome to Fightful. Here with a name you know. And if you don't, by God, you're gonna. Come on. It's
Six said the full thing. 6'12", 15% of a metric ton, Sean. Come on, say it all. Larger than life, hotter than hell. Earthquake and pillar shaking, me popping, jaw dropping.
It'd be redundant if I said all that now.
Come on.
It'd be exhausting for the viewer, for the listener.
You're going to get blown up, Sean? Blown up just saying that?
Yes. Yes, look at me. Come on. It's big trouble. Ben Bishop.
Oh, it sure.
Listen, how big is that you're drinking out of right there? How
this
big is
right
that?
Right here, we got 40 ounces. I got Caesar Bononi. Okay. Telling me I got to have at least, how many do I have to have? Four and a half of these a day.
Okay. Caesar. So listen, let's get right into that. You name dropped Caesar. He's working with a lot of people and really changing their lives. I saw Layla Hirsch. I saw even Jordan Grace and Ethan Page hit out there before their NXT thing. Sure I mean, did. He's a guy that most wrestling fans at this point had seen, but he's really, really finding his place in changing a lot of people's lives in transforming their bodies and their careers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's the proof is in the pudding. I mean, you see what Caesar's been doing for a lot of wrestlers, a lot of people, not just wrestlers as well. Yeah. I think when I started working with him, he said he had about 45 wrestlers he was currently working with. Currently, you know, not even just people that he has worked with, and almost like 120 clients whole. I mean, he's going the route of like a DDP. You know, he's finding a second career now. He was a wrestler for a while. He was in NXT, then he was in AEW, and now he's doing this. And he found his niche. I mean, it's amazing. He's easy to work with. The greatest thing about him, excuse me, I've worked with an online coach before, but the best thing about Caesar is that he's with you every step of the way. You know, you can message him at any time. He gets back to you within 20 minutes at the absolute most. If you have a question about the nutrition, you have a question about the workout, if you need to change something, he's right there with you. He's like motivating you every step of the way. He's not taking like days or weeks to get back to you. He's changing things up if needed. I can't say enough about him. It's been 4 weeks. I put out a picture the other day and it's just like, holy crap, man. Like it's unbelievable. Just looking at how my body's changed in just 4 weeks working with him. I could sing his praise. We can go an hour giving him free advertisement right here. We got other stuff to talk about. But if anybody has not looked into Caesar Bononi, if you're a pro wrestler or if you're not, or you're someone that just wants to get into shape, it's worth every penny. Absolutely worth every penny.
I love hearing that too, because there are a lot of people, and he I think he wrestled a couple months ago as well. Like Boca
Raton. he's still wrestling a little bit.
He still wrestles. But I mean, like, he's got something proven, like, that is an additional career path. And why not? Looking the way that he looks, why wouldn't you want to look like that?
And you know the best thing is, Sean, is that it's hard to find guys who understand how, like, tall guys should work out. It's a tough thing because it's much different. I can't just get advice from bodybuilders. Most bodybuilders are shorter and stockier. So their lifts are going to be a bit different. So Caesar gets that. Even he's a big man, he's 6'6", and he's a wrestler. So it's like I can figure out what was going to work for him will most likely work for me. Maybe not, 6'12", but it's all right. I'm close enough. So it's just it was a no-brainer to work with him.
Why do you think more wrestlers don't work on their height? Why do you think wrestlers just don't simply get taller?
They don't try hard enough. And they don't try. You know, it's just, I mean, I put in so much work to get to this height that people just don't realize it's, you know.
You've been working your whole life.
My whole life. I've just continually, it's been a continued grind to get to the height of 6'12", which people say doesn't exist. Yeah. It does. It just does. I mean, if you want to like it or not, the height 6'12" does exist, just the way you look at it. But yeah, you know, people want to just say, oh, it's just genetics. It's not, man. It's not hours of hard work.
I was able to verify this. You grew over an additional 6 feet since you were born. And I mean, the proof is in the pudding.
It is. And Sean, yeah, 100% true. It's just fact. I have grown that much.
You've been catching a lot of eyes lately. I noticed Matt Cardona, who seems to know a thing or two about standing out, especially outside the auspices. I mean, listen, he knows how to stand out inside the auspices of WWE as well as outside of it. And you had dropped him a little tweet, and he's like, yeah, I've had my eye on you. I've seen what you're doing. I've noticed you. I've been impressed by you. How does that feel for you? And was that something you expected when you dropped him that little tweet?
No, because I see Matt a lot now at events, and I'm always, you know, just kind of go back and forth with him and ribbing him, and wanting to get him into content. He's one of those guys. It means a lot coming from him, because he does not throw compliments around, like, at all.
No, he doesn't.
He's not someone that's just going to compliment you and blow smoke up your ass, right? Like, he ain't going to do that. And my buddy Nick works with Matt, helps him with his social media. Co-host the Meat Pop Express podcast, guys, subscribe to that. And he works with him, and he says that. He's like, dude, that's huge, because Matt does never, ever compliments people unless he sees someone putting in the hard work. I mean, somebody like Matt is like the perfect example of the pinnacle of what I've been trying to do, right? Like, I mean, in 2011, nobody was paying attention to him. Nobody cared. WWE was, he was just another guy on the roster. He was kind of floundering, and he's like, you know what? I'm sick of where I am. I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, throw a pity party and complain about not getting enough minutes on TV. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make Z Long Island Story. And he did it. And I mean, I don't think it's going to, it's not really going out on a limb here. I mean, he was the first guy to really take advantage of social media when it got big. Right.
Yeah. Oh, basically, yeah. I mean, by far, blogs and Twitter. I remember when he was hitting benchmarks on Twitter. And we didn't even know that many damn people were on Twitter, much less.
I mean,
the vlog just exploded back then. Back then, in wrestling, we're like, what the hell's a vlog? What's he doing?
Yeah, nobody knew what he was doing. No, and it was like, and I was talking to him about this a few weeks ago, and I'm like, why'd you start? You really, like, started it to kind of just, like, pop yourself, right, and your buddies? He's like, yeah, I mean, that was really, you know, what I was doing. And then it took off. Like, I don't think he had the aspirations going to take off like it did. But he's like, you know, I'm going to do something different and see if it catches on. And it did. And that's why I started what I'm doing, Sean. About a year ago, I almost just said, like, I'm done with it. Like, I can't stand wrestling anymore. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't figure it out. I was becoming, like, you know, I'm this height. I'm aesthetically pleasing. You know, I'm not trying. I'm humbly speaking, I'm aesthetically pleasing. Like, I'm like, what the heck can I do? And you know, you always have people nonstop come up to me. Oh, you know, well, Vince would love you. And, oh, you're going to get a job. You're going to get a contract. You're going to get this. You're going to get this. I'm like, okay, then where is it?
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? What else do I need to do? So I was like, you know what? Maybe this ain't for me. And then, you know, one day I was just sitting on my couch. Nick texted me and said, hey, do you want to start this podcast? And I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. And then what really set me over the edge of doing this, Sean, was that Sam Adonis reached out to me.
Oh, he's a brilliant guy.
He really is. And we've never met. We've just followed each other on social media, always kept up with each other, respect what each other's doing. And he just saw something I was doing. I forgot exactly what it was, but he saw something. He's just like, he's like, hey, man, you can take this, like, advice as you want. You know, I know we never met, like, this, that, and the other. But it's like, you need to, like, I see, like, stuff that you've been doing, and like, you need to understand that you're different. You're different than everybody on the indies. Like, you're not just this tall guy looking, like, mongoloid looking guy, right? He's like, you're a tall guy, you're a good looking guy. Like, you have something. He's like, but it feels like you're just kind of kowtowing to, like, what people want. And you're just giving in to, like, just all these carnies in professional wrestling. He's like, treat wrestling like you don't need it. He's like, just treat it like you don't need it. He's like, and don't give a shit about what, can I swear here, Sean?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Don't give a shit about what people say. And that kind of just, he's like, try to, like, take a different path. He's like, don't do the same, like, don't, like, follow the same thing. Because at the end of the day, people don't really want you to succeed. A lot of people don't want you to succeed in wrestling. It's very carny. They want to keep you down as much as possible. So I said, all right, you know what? I have this content that Nick wants to do. His great advice from Sam. I like to make fun of wrestling. I think it's silly. It's a circus. Why don't I just put it in video form and see what happens? And I just did it to pop myself. I didn't do it because I'm like, oh, this is going to take off and I want to like get a job out of this. Or, you know, I was just like, let's have some fun and make this fun again. And get, make it's like almost like it was therapeutic.
That, so and this it. Is
now we're here. Like some, about
of,
a year ago.
Some of my favorite things that I've seen in wrestling, like over the last couple of years, are like you doing those. Maddie Rinkowski, before she got signed, she would do main character Maddie and do these little great interviews.
Stuff.
And
yeah, great stuff.
Richard Holiday right now trolling all of Instagram by telling them to give him his flowers, and they're like, "Who are you?"
Yeah,
and like they sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. When the people don't get it. And they're like, well, you're a nobody, yada, yada. I mean, listen, you'll have people with, I mean, you just did a thing with Jack Vaughn.
Yeah.
Or played off of that, where yeah. It's like, yeah, I just won the title at WrestleMania. And they're still like, you're a nobody.
It still doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And you're never gonna win with those people.
Yes.
And that's like the rib, right? It's like, I know I'm never gonna win with those people. You're never gonna win. If people see something's getting popular and people are reacting to it, it's like the internet wants to have like an equilibrium. And it's just like, oh, it's getting good. It's getting good. Oh, wait a minute. No, I can't get too good. Not on my watch.
I had people asking me if I thought that Joe Hendry would face John Cena next year. I was like, next year they'll turn on him by then. The audience is going to be, they're going to treat him like he's not cool by then. What are you talking about next year for?
That's how it goes. That's how it goes. And that's how the internet is. And that's how, and I know that's how it is. And it's like, the video I put out with of me being like the disgruntled WWE guy coming to the indies, right? I put it out that it was like, you know, cutting like the promo, like it doesn't, like you don't care about like the place you're going to. And people took it like, it's like, you weren't in WWE. I was like, you should. And I just played along. I'm like, yeah, I was. They're like, wait, what do you mean you weren't? No, you weren't. You absolutely were. And they just didn't get it. And they didn't get any of it. And I'm just like, guys, it's a joke for Christ's sake, man. But it's funny. And I love playing to that audience because, first of all, they don't realize it. If they hate it, they're giving me so much engagement and they're giving me so many comments and the likes and the they just continue. It continues to roll in. And man, I'll take it. I'll take it. It works. I appreciate it.
When you don't appeal to the lowest common denominator, the lowest common denominator never understands what actually helps you.
No.
And then they go. They do,
you
that
know it, Sean. Well. I mean, does anybody get more hate than you, Sean?
I have personally, I've never interacted with a troll. I've never once given breath to a troll on the internet. You can't find evidence of it. And any time that it looked like I did, I was hacked. So
that's it. It's hacked. Hacked, baby. That's what you gotta go with.
It's AI. It's all those things. That's
man,
that's
we
the
can
situation.
Get away with so much nowadays, can't we?
Yeah. I mean, that's. So that was a thing like that my legit attorney once said to me. He goes, you know, people have said so much ridiculous shit about you that isn't true. At this point, you could punch somebody's grandma and people would have reason to doubt it. And yeah. I was like, that's not a thing I'm proud of. I'm not proud that people are so weird about it. But I mean, that does come with success and longevity and things like that. But
that's it.
There are people that tell on themselves like in like your comments section, and Richards was another one. I was like, man, I've watched this guy work like 20, 30 minute main event matches for world titles. Like they can work. And you're in a situation where a lot of people that are your size and look like you, they'll rest on those laurels. Mm-hmm. They'll do that, and you don't. You are expanding and doing a lot more, and I don't want to say natural because it takes a lot of work as well, but did this come to you naturally, or was it something where you were like, you know what, I need to tweak this, I need to alter this? How did that sort of develop?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I'll answer the first about people resting on their laurels, because like many do. Guys my size can easily do that, because a lot of guys my size are handed opportunities left and right.
Yeah.
Just so happens I wasn't the guy who get a handout. It's all right, right? So I thought I would be, John, at the beginning when I first started, because like I said, so many people come up to me, this guy would love you. This guy, you're getting signed in 6 months. You're getting signed in a year. You're getting signed in 2 years. Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. So I, you know, at the first 3-4 years of my career, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just wait. I'm gonna wait around. Yes. I'll be fine. Hasn't happened yet. I've had a WWE tryout. I've been to AEW a bunch of times. I've seen a bunch of guys that are tall get signed. You know, sight unseen, guys who've never taken a bump in their life, not going to go on a rant, get signed. And I'm just like, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, to answer your question about, like, did it come natural? And no, I mean, it takes work, but it is. You know this, Sean. You've trained. You've done this. You understand. Like, yeah. In wrestling, what is, like, one of the first things that you're taught is, like, you know, mouth closed, ears open, all this, right? You know, and like, yeah, to an extent. But dude, that, like, there's so many, like, every other job, every other sport, that's never been taught. I played Division I basketball. Like, no one ever said, keep, you know, you respect everybody to an extent, but I don't have to respect a basketball player that their highest level was JV basketball just because you've been involved with basketball for 15 years longer than me. I don't have to respect you if you're a dick.
Yeah.
I don't have to do, but in wrestling, it's like this weird thing. Oh, respect, you know, this, that, and the other. And no, like I get to the point where I'm like, I can be a natural performer. I can do something outside the grain here, against the grain here. And I've always kind of been like into like acting and performing and all this type of stuff. I'm like, why don't I just do that type of thing instead of just being like, I'm a big guy, my time's gonna come. Oh, I'm just gonna put out moves of me doing sidewalk slams and choke slams. It is, it's like everybody can, right? Like, it's like I look at all these videos, and I'll put out a video of me doing something cool in the ring that had 1500 views, but then I'll make a stupid video of me making fun of a crappy shitty indie promoter up to 15,000 views, you know, 20,000 views. And it's like, That's what resonates with people. I say I've been preaching this for such a long time about, it's not anything to do with the ring. Nothing about the wrestling. Like, that's not what resonates with people. Look at, you just mentioned him, Joe Hendry, right? Like, I bet you 99% of people who have heard the Joe Hendry theme song have not seen Joe Hendry wrestle a full match. And that's nothing against Joe Hendry wrestling by any means. It's just that his face is a meme. The song is over as shit, I mean, understatement, and that's what people care about. So when he shows up at NXT for the first time and makes that entrance is the second most watched video since WrestleMania, or first most watched video since WrestleMania, whatever it ended up being. Do you think anybody cared that he got eliminated first in that Battle Royal, or remember? No. It's like,
I mean, RJ City and Danhausen, I hadn't seen one of their matches for a year after I knew them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that was another one of my inspirations, was RJ City, is watching him like 2018, 2019, listen, like watching his videos, watching him, like, I never watched a match. I didn't need to. I was interested in RJ City.
Good luck finding one.
And he would probably say, thank you. I don't even care that you never watched me wrestle. He wouldn't give a shit. Danhausen, same thing. That's just, you realize, like, in this day and age, and how social media and all this stuff works, like, the wrestling is just, people just want to be entertained, right? And like, and this is not putting down anybody who's a great technical wrestler by any means, but you need both. You need to be able to go in the ring, but you need to be somewhat entertaining to the audience. You know, it's not a day and age where it's like people just want to watch 30-minute matches without any type of investment in that character or that person. If it's just a match happening, like, why wouldn't amateur wrestling be the biggest thing in the world, right? It's just not. So it's like, I realize, like, I'm not going to get over by just being a big guy. Yeah, people look at me. Like, I can walk into a room and everyone's going to be like, who the hell's that? Oh, it's not Big Cass, never mind. You know, like, I can do that, and I can get people to pay attention. I can pass every airport test in the world. But like, just for, I need something more. I can't just, and I've always had it. It just took me a while to like finally be like, you know what? I don't care what people think. I'm going to try to do this my own way.
So Matt Cardona wasn't the only person that I saw you sort of, I don't want to say shoot your shot with, but you did shoot your shot with Steve Kay, an agent who a lot of people in wrestling might not know, and confusingly saw him walk into the Squared Circle Expo Battle Royal that I dominated before I got eliminated. And
wait, which one? Horns. The Squared Circle, was that last year?
This year's, I got chokeslammed by Hornswoggle and thrown over the top rope.
Oh, the night before. Oh, you're at the night before. Well, because I was at that one. Yeah. That's right. The Friday night. Gotcha. I won the Battle Royal.
I'm going to ask you about Battle Royals shortly.
All right, we'll talk about that in a second.
Because, I'm a geek for Battle Royals. I worked 30 minutes in one a couple of months ago.
Oh, go ahead. Take my spot in every single one, but keep going.
There you go. But Steve Kay is like, he's a former WWE employee who has become very powerful in the managing and like representation side of things. What motivated you to do that? Because, I mean, fantastic at what he does. He and Mojo, I think, are going to be very, very important and influential to the future of wrestling and negotiating deals and getting brand partnerships.
Well, I don't want to kill kayfabe here, Sean, but Steve reached out to me.
Oh, and then, no.
And then I reached out to Steve. And then I did that video about
it. What a mark. Steve Kay exposed again.
No, Steve. I've known Steve for a while. I met Steve last year at when me and Nick went to, StarCast.
Yeah.
Right. So when we went there, we met Steve, we met Derek, a few of the other guys that were involved with creating StarCast. And they were awesome. They let us kind of do the press thing, let us do our own thing there. Very cool to us. But again, you know, they were cool, but they were like, let's see what you guys can do. Right. It's like, it's the same thing as Matt. Like, you know, we're going to respect you, but we're not going to like put you over until we kind of see you put the work in. And yeah. So Steve's been seeing it and seeing what I've been doing. And, you know, Steve's like, hell, dude, like, you know, you're on your way. You're on your way. I had the conversation with Steve. You know, I've been in contact. Mojo, you know, reached out to, he said, Steve told me that Mojo reached out to him. He goes, who's this guy?
Yeah.
Like, who's this guy? Then Mojo reached out to me personally and was just like, dude, I love your content. Love what you're doing. And we've just been in contact kind of ever since. So I was like, yeah, I'm not there yet, Steve. Not there yet. But, you know, hopefully eventually. Steve's a great guy. Mojo's great. I told them what they're doing is awesome. Trying to legitimize this stuff, make it a lot less corny than it is. As it should be. So, yeah. You know, we've always had a good relationship. Yeah. So I really wish the best for those guys. And I'm sure in the future, we'll definitely be working together.
So I mentioned the Battle Royals, or you did rather. As a big dude, you are going to be booked in so many Battle Royals in your life. And you already are. Those can be mayhem. Usually are. Because there's very little like organization there. For example, the one that I mentioned, when I found out where I was and that Hornswoggle would be in right after me, I said, what do you want to do? And he said, choke slam and throw you over the top. Great. I'm in. I'm out.
Yeah.
Then I worked a 30-minute one and somebody tore my meniscus, not knowing what they were doing. They can be very dangerous. As a guy who is legitimately huge and can physically remove someone from the situation if need be, have you run into that situation before where you're like, I got to get this turd out of here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was in one like about a year ago, and it was like a Royal Rumble style one, right? I was the first one in, and I was going over. And it was like me and like three guys who knew how to work, and then like maybe 10 like green kids. And I hate using that term, but just inexperienced sure. guys, right? And nothing against them. It was like one of their first, second, third matches. And this one kid comes in, man, and just like lighting me up with kicks to the leg. And I said, dude, you got to chill out, please. I'm like, you got to chill out. And I said it for a third time, like, stop, dude. You got to stop. And then finally, the last second, I just grabbed him and I just gave him one very, very stiff shot. And I'm like, you got to go out now. Like, you're not getting another spot. Dude, you got to get out of this match. The most chaotic one I was in, though, was at WrestleCade this past year.
I want to be in that one so bad, but then I heard all the stories.
God, and like, it worked fine, but I'm in the ring, and it's a 16 by 16 ring. So, folks, that's small. Just in comparison, if you don't know, WWE's 20 by 20. So this is much smaller of a ring with 34,
people.
30 more. Yeah, there was more this year. There was about 34, 35. in this 16 by 16 ring, what do you do? Right. And at one point, I think we're 5 minutes in, and there was, we only really knew like who the last like four were supposed to be in the match.
Yeah.
And we're about 30, like 5 minutes in, and no one's going out. And we're just like, you know, no one's going out. And at one point, like we knew like the top, like we knew the top four, we kind of had an idea of what the top 10 was supposed to be. Right. And I was kind of part of that. Richard Holiday was part of it. Facade, a few others. And at one point I just hear Richard Holiday go, somebody's going to get the out of this ring. Get out of the ring. He's just like, as he's working it, like throwing, he's just like, get out of the ring.
I love the thought. Cause I mean, like Ricky Morton, Mr. Yep. Hughes were in that. Oh, and I'm like, what kind of bump over the top are they taking at this stage?
Oh dude. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you one about that in a second, but I remember in this Wrestle Kingdom Battle Royal, I'm working a guy in the corner and I had no idea who it was, right? I'm just doing like the Kevin Nash spot in the corner, throwing back elbows, knees to the gut, all this stuff. And I'm about to throw him out. He goes, no, I can't go out yet. I'm like, who's this guy, man? Like, I'm such an idiot. It was Vampiro. I had no idea because I didn't know who else was in this match. I just guys were just in the ring. So I'm
for the record to the viewer, Violent J of the Insane Clown Posse won this match.
Oh, unbelievable. My boss at JCW.
Yes.
Speaking of guys that can't go over in the Squared Circle Expo, I'm in too many battle royals. At the Squared Circle Expo, when we did that one, Tommy Rich was in the match.
Yes, right? He was.
And so we're all like, you know, we're all talking. It was like Colt Cabana, Mance Warner, me,
Nate Webb.
Nate Webb, yep. And so I was going over this one, but Tommy Rich, guys, I can't go over the top rope. And I'm like, what are we going to do? So we're trying to, so I'm just like, all right, listen. I got you. I'm like, how about this? You come in, you just fire up, bunch of guys bump off you. We all feed into you. He's like, then I'm just going to pick you up and I'm just going to put you over the top rope and I'll just give you a shot, Tommy. And he's like, yeah, you can do that. You good, man? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, all right. So boom, we did it. He's like, thank you so much, brother. Oh, thank you. Like, I got you, dude. I got you. But yeah, you can't. That's how Iron Sheik won the WrestleMania.
I remember he couldn't go over the top.
What a worker, man. That's how you
couldn't go over the top.
That's it.
The night before, the person was supposed to grab me and just throw me over. That way, it was so funny the way Hornswoggle produced it. He goes, yeah, because the camera won't physically be able to see me if it's on this side. He takes me, he grabs the wrong end of me, and then I go backwards over like how Kane used to go over the top rope.
Did you make it look clean, though?
It ended up looking like shit. I mean, I ended up getting over, but it didn't look
good. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So recently you had a blockbuster ratings appearance.
I did.
On AEW Rampage.
Yup, sure did. Mr. 55K.
Mr. 55K. Against Roderick Strong. This was not your first time in AEW, though. You had appeared there in the past.
I did.
How did that first appearance come about, and how did the second one come about?
Yeah, so the first appearance, the first one was in 2021, and when we were doing all the darks at Daly's Place, during the pandemic, right at the June, right? Actually, before they started going back on the road again, like that last few tapings there. I was just in contact with QT Marshall for a bit about like figuring out a time to go down. They ended up inviting me. I was there for about a week. I was there for about like two tapings. I forget exactly, like two dark tapings, a Dynamite, and something else. Like they filmed something else there. And it was great. You know, it was a really good experience. I got to work against Bronson, now of the Iron Savage, just formerly Bear Country. Great guy. If anybody's ever met him, which is what it's an absolute tremendous human being. And it was a great experience. Second time, got to work Preston Vance, also great guy. Enjoyed that experience as well. It was a little bit more, you know, I was a little bit more experienced there, so it was a little bit better on my end, working wise. But they were both darks, right? They weren't at the end of the day, you know, it's an awesome experience to anyone that's done it. But it wasn't TV. It's not national TV. So when I went back this time, I just got a random. I didn't hit up AEW for 2 years. Right. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to really get out of doing too many darks. You know, let's see. They know who I am at this point. You know, if I get invited back, I get invited back. But I'm going to keep doing my thing on the indies. So I just got an email from Sean Dean, and he just invited me and just said, hey, you know, you want to come to Mississippi, at Memphis, Mississippi, where it was outside of Memphis. But yeah, sure, why not? You know, I did out of nowhere. And so I did it. And this time it just felt a little different, Sean. It just kind of felt more, I felt more natural, right? I started knowing more people on the indie scene. And it just had more, like, you know, acquaintances, friends there. But what was cool is that when I was there, it's just people kept coming up to me and mentioning the videos. They're like, you're the guy that makes those videos. I'm like, yeah, that's me. He's like, you're this tall? What? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you didn't know. And it's like, no, we don't know. We can't tell on the videos how tall you are. He's like, you're this big? I'm like, yeah. He's like, holy shit. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's me. I'm just Ben. And then Jarrett, which was like the coolest thing, Jeff Jarrett, I was walking by catering, and he just says, who is that guy? And one of the producers says to him, he's like, oh, that's Ben. You don't know Ben? He's like, no, I don't know who Ben is. And he's like, well, look at his video. So he shows him a video. And then Jared comes up to me and starts ribbing me about one of the videos doing the shindy promoter gimmick back to me. It took me like 30 seconds to figure out what the hell he was doing. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, I know what you're doing. And then I just found out I had a match. I had no idea. Like one of the producers just like, by the way, you know, you're working Roderick Strong tonight. And I was like, oh, I am? And they're like, yeah. Like, so I was like, okay, that sounds great. Like, how much time? I got 2 minutes. Oh, perfect. Great. 2 minutes. What are we going to do? So talked to Roddy. We went over it. You know what? A lot of people in my position and my size could have easily said, what the hell? And sat there and pity, and, you know, throwing a pity party, felt bad for yourself, and just like, you know, like, this is BS, blah, blah, blah. I'm a big guy with all this shit, right? So I did that for about 3 minutes, and I was like, you know, what the hell, man? Like, what, why can't, like, they don't see me. They don't think I can do anything. Like, what? Then I thought, I'm like, nah, you know what? This is great. This is great. Cause I already have an idea what I'm going to do here. So, you know, we go out and do the thing. I knew exactly when the hard cam was going to be on me because I already did it twice. I know when they call your name, that is the only time you're guaranteed that hard cam is going to be on you. And so I just said, all right, I know that's going to happen. So I'm going to have the cheesiest grin and the stupidest pose of all time. And I just did it in a mirror 5 minutes before I went out there. And I'm like, all right, this is it. Perfect. And, you know, the match happened. We did what we did. You know, if you blinked, you missed it. But I had in my mind, I'm like, I am going to play. And I'm happy it was Rampage because I was there for a Collision and a Rampage and a Ring of Honor. And they had all the taping, right? Well, Collision wasn't taped. But I'm happy it was Rampage because we have a week now. So I'm like, for this whole week, I am going to play this shit up. Like, it is the biggest match of my career. And I'm going to make everyone think that this is, like, I am going to, like, I'm the next big thing, right? And so that was my whole, like, content.
You played it up so big that I was like, does he actually have a match, or is he just going rogue and saying this?
I kind of did. And, you know, because nobody, I looked at it, I'm like, no other, you know, enhancement talent does this.
Yeah.
Like, nobody, because everyone's just like, hey, I was on Rampage. Fun. Here's some pictures. That was cool. Like, oh, here's my cool lower third, you know, and that is fine because that's what normal everyone does. Everyone's kind of shy to go against the grain when it comes to like a big company like that, because you're like, oh, I might get heat. I'm like, forget the heat, man. I don't care about the heat anymore. If I do that, I'm gonna be right in the same place I'm at, right? If people get mad at me for trying to promote the show and trying to get people to watch, so be it. I mean, that's the whole point of wrestling, right? So, you know, the whole week goes, I just play it up, biggest thing that's gonna happen, and I'm like, this could either go great, this could blow up in my face, and I'm the laughing stock of pro wrestling forever, right? So, or at least for like a week. And so I'm like, I know, I'm gonna make that highlight video. I had the highlight video, and I had the reaction with my white video already in the back of my mind. And I'm like, I think these will do well. I think and fortunately, they did. And because I was just like, because everyone for the most part, 99% of people got it what I was doing. And it was, you know, and fortunately, it was just something different. And it's been great. It's been a great last few weeks. It's been fun. You know, wrestling's a roller coaster, right? It goes up and down, up and down, up and down. So just ride the high as much as possible and take advantage of it. But the thing with me, Sean, is I'm not a one-trick pony. Like, I'm not gonna just go out there. I've been doing these videos for a year now. Like, it's not like I just did this one thing on Rampage and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna milk the shit out of it till it's dry. But I'm not just going away. Like, I'm gonna continue to make these videos. I have a ton of stuff in the back of my head. Most of the time I struggle because I have all these ideas. I'm like, what should I put out now? Right. So, like, I have a ton of stuff. I'm a creative guy, putting myself over like crazy right now. You are a creative guy.
I'll say it as well. You're a very creative guy.
Thank you. And so that guy, I just want to keep doing it and show people I have so many ideas, things that I think could really work, you know, if given the right platform, but I'm not going to sit here and complain. It's like, I'm not on TV. I can't get enough reach. No, I can get reach, and I'm showing that I can get reach. And that's what gets me, you know, a little like upset at times when I hear guys so like, oh, I can't get enough time on TV. I'm not getting my minutes. I'm not doing this. They're not putting me over this, that, and the other. And yeah, that's I get why you'd be miserable at that, right? Like, I'm not downplaying that. That does stink for guys that have to sit in catering all the time. I'd be the same way. I'd be upset as well. But there's so many other ways. Like I said, look at Matt. Look at Joe Hendry. Look at what Danhausen did. Go down the line. And so it, like, and then, you know, you guys like me and Jack Vaughn were trying to do it as well, you know, and you can get that social media gives you that chance to do it. You're probably going to be seen by way more people if you do it on social media and some people that watch shows. So like that's just like a perfect avenue to go. And so I only had a minute and 30 seconds, whatever it was. Right. And I'm taking advantage of it for the past 3 weeks. And I just wish more guys would. And I think because I think there's a lot of creative guys out there. I think just guys don't want to rock the boat is what it is. They don't want to rock the boat but no one's ever gotten ahead by not rocking the boat. You kind of have to. You got to kind of do your own thing. You got to be creative. Because once they see people are getting behind you, there's no choice then. There's no choice, right? So like I just wish I saw more of it.
You had mentioned how much you like acting earlier on, especially bigger dudes in wrestling transition to acting very, very well. Kurgan is in a bunch of like really good movies. Nathan Jones in a bunch of movies. The new Juggernaut was a former FCW wrestler even. Mm-hmm. Like, is that something that you got in mind and can... So, I mean, like, this is... You're the young fella on the block. They do not come around as tall and as big as you anymore. They used to sort of grow on trees 15, 20 years ago. They do not anymore.
No, they're probably doing other stuff like, you know, being an Olympic athlete or in the NBA. or in the NFL. I've always enjoyed performing. I've always enjoyed acting. That was like the thing I really liked about wrestling growing up. I liked the pageantry of it. I just liked the performance aspect of it. And you forgot to mention Kevin Nash as well, my favorite of all time. He also has done a ton of acting. I got a part in an indie movie that we're going to film in August, and I'm really excited. It's a rom-com, actually. So it's not the normal, like, I'm just going to be an action movie getting beat up by the hero or something. We'll see what happens, but I think there's a wrestling scene in it, so it'll work out pretty nicely. Nice segue into it. So I'm very excited about that. And I've done Young Rock. I did the WWE 2K commercial. It's out there. I was Hulk Hogan. You can see it. I just got a bunch of ideas for that. I know I've talked to a few people about doing like stunt work as well. You know, there's not a lot of guys that do it. I was talking to one of the producers at AEW and he was telling me, he's like, dude, there's this guy who's like 6'10" and he's the only one out there right now doing stunt work, and look at his resume. He's the only one out there that size doing stunt work. It's like, look at his resume. And it was like every Marvel movie, just boom, like down. And I mean, stunt money is much better than independent wrestling money. I don't know if that's a big surprise to anybody, but it is really good. It's really good money, especially if you're doing Marvel level movies.
Yeah, of course. So,
it's something that I definitely want to look into. I'm going to see where wrestling goes for the next year or so and see if, you know, we can make something of this. You know, I think we're getting there on the precipice, but, you know, I love acting. I love performing. That's really the number one thing I've always enjoyed about this whole thing. surprised it's not the in-ring stuff. So we'll so yeah, we'll see where it goes. I hope to do more of it in the future.
As we wrap up, we've talked about Meat Pop Express. We've talked about your aspirations for acting, the content that you do, the in-ring wrestling. What is something that Big Trouble Ben Bishop enjoys that most people might not know that he enjoys, besides obviously a nice hat?
I got so many. I collect brewery hats. So yeah, it's all hats from different breweries. Yeah, I got to get more of them. I spend way too much money on hats. I am so good at trivia.
Really?
I am very good.
What specific kind, like a category specifically?
You know, category's tough. General, mostly general, unless like the other, like a few weeks ago, me and my wife went to this brewery near our house and it was just us two and it was Simpsons trivia. And okay. That's something that I grew up watching The Simpsons every single day, 6 and 6:30 on Fox. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it came on where you were, but 6 and 6:30 where I was every single night. Especially seasons 1 through 10. I'm damn near an expert. And it was just me. And I was going against teams of like 8, 9, 10 people. It was just me. I came in third out of about 15 people, came in third alone. It, because my wife doesn't know anything about The Simpsons. So it was just me. And I'm sitting there just answering. But general trivia, it's tough. Because like I've done like Friends trivia. Forget it. These people. Yeah. I know basic stuff.
I mean, I've tried. I've had to catch my wife up on The Simpsons as well because she was not a viewer.
And the best.
She wanted to go to Harry Potter World so bad. That's what she loved.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. I was like, yeah, sure, we'll go. But then I hit Simpsons land, and then understood. Then I got it. Then I was like, okay, I'm gonna eat this Krusty Burger over here. You go enjoy your gilly water or whatever.
Your $23 Krusty Burger. But it was worth every. Yes. It was worth every.
It was. No, it takes it.
I said the same thing. Like we went to Universal 2 years ago. And like it was me, my wife, her sister, and my brother-in-law. They were like all fired up about Harry Potter. Now it's amazing. It's like it really is incredible to see, like Harry Potter World and all that. But man, when I walked into Springfield and I was like a kid in a candy store. Like had a Duff beer, you know, like had a donut, like all like, and I was just like, oh man, like everything's overpriced. And it's just normal. It's like the Duff beer is like a Yingling, right? Like it's nothing crazy, but it's just so cool to be in Moe's Tavern. I think they're redoing it, Sean. I think they're like,
I love the virtual coaster too. I thought that was a lot of fun.
I thought it was great. Everything about it. I was just smiling the whole time because I'm like, this is so awesome. No, I think they're not. No, they're taking out Springfield. Like they're gonna. No. There's no more Simpsons. Yeah, I know.
I'm glad that I went there. Then I'm glad that I went there.
But yeah, trivia. We try to do it every week. It's like go to a brewery and play trivia. And yeah, that's something that if anybody ever needs a partner, I'm your guy.
Hell yeah. Well, tell the people where they can support you, where they can follow you, where they can find you. You are a great social media follow.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So, guys, you see at Big Trouble BB on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm trying to figure out TikTok. I can't figure out TikTok. But, hey, I'm on there, too. I'm in the same boat. Giving it the college try. Isn't it weird, man? Like, you go on and it's like, oh, man, everything's doing well on Twitter and Instagram. And you're like, 500 views on TikTok.
It is a completely different audience. It's a completely different audience. We have over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. I got 300,000 on Twitter. Yeah. And then I'll post a video of my face reading a news story. And there will be tons of comments saying, I had no idea what you look like. I had only seen your name written. And I was like, completely different audience.
It's wild. The internet's a giant, weird place. It really is. It's like space. It is the actual final frontier is the internet. So, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Big Trouble BB, keeping it simple. And you can see me at a ton of events in or around where you live. I mean, hey, I'm going to be at coming up on August 9th. I'm here in Georgia at Southern Honor Wrestling. August 10th, I'm in Buford, Georgia at Disruptor Wrestling. I am going to be, as of now, it was just announced today, we'll be at the Gathering of the Juggalos outside of Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, what a time that'll be. And then September 14th in outside of Chicago, Sycamore, Illinois for WCPW Wrestling. September 20th back in Georgia. September 21st, Knuckle Brawl in Fight Factory Wrestling in Staten Island, New York. I'm going up against Danny Moff for the Fight Factory title that night. Great new promotion, by the way. Sean, you should get up that way. It's a good one. It's a real good one. So I'll Fight Factory Wrestling. Put on a good
show. I saw you post a clip from, I think it was maybe a podcast they did, or a podcast about the show. Yeah.
About the show. Yeah, it's up at, we had our show a couple weeks ago at Martell's Tiki Bar in Point Pleasant. It was a Tuesday night show.
Okay.
It obviously doesn't happen much in indie wrestling.
Yeah.
But we had a great turnout. I mean, it's a vacation spot, right? So people were there were people out on the Jersey Shore, and awesome show. Had some really good talent there. Janella, Santana. We had Cardona was there. Mandy Rose and Ash by Elegance, her new name, is also there.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, we had it was an awesome show. Awesome promotion. So that's what I'm really happy to be a part of. So putting them over there. You're welcome, guys. Dave Sturcio, you're welcome again. You know, free promotion. What I've done the entire time for you, free promotion. But yeah, me and Danny Moff will lock up then on September 21st. Shelton Benjamin will also be there. So
one of my all-time favorites, one of the all-time best.
There you go. More of a reason for you to show up, Sean.
I know. My God, guys, check him out. Big Trouble. Ben Bishop. We will be talking to him again in the future. Until next time, guys, we're out.